just like a tree that's planted by the water.
We want to welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries. It is our desire that each person come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Let us open up with prayer.
Father, I just give you praise. I just give you glory, for there's none like it unto you. The great I am, who sits on the sides of the north in Mount Zion, the circle of the earth. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. We thank you, Father, for your glorious Holy Spirit, for he is the eyes of the Lord who run to and fro throughout all the earth to show himself strong on those whose heart is perfect towards you. Father, we just thank you for making our hearts right.
Well, thank God. I'm going to be titling this podcast, Heard of Old, and we'll be looking at how when the Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene, he brought in the new covenant. And we'll look into some scriptures that have been misunderstood and see if we can bring some clarity to them. Turn to Matthew 5:27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her have committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now the Lord is taking the people of that day from the old covenant to the new covenant. Turn to Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and I will write them in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now, under the new covenant, we can all have a relationship with God. We can all have the Spirit of God resting upon us, okay? We can all have the Spirit of Christ in us. Okay, let's look further at the new heart that God is going to give us in the new covenant. Ezekiel 36:25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon them, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, for I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land which I will give your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. So take notice, as God gives us this new heart and puts his spirit within us, look what we're able to do, or what he's able to do with us. And I will cause them to walk in my statutes and keep my judgment. See, then you can follow God. You need a new heart, new spirit to follow God. Before, you just did what the prophets, back in the old covenant, you just did what the prophets said. Now you can walk in his spirit and you can walk in his ways. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So in the new covenant, God gives us a new heart to walk in his ways. And the Great Commission is to go make disciples or Christians of all nations. And this commission is saying, go make a new creation of people out of them. It is. When you get understanding of what all is laid out in the commission, you'll see that that's what it's saying. See, it says, go preach the good news of the gospel. That's the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. And that gospel deals with the old man, and he brings forth the new man, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, that bears the old man, teach them to observe all things he commanded you. Teach the people to obey the words of God. Okay? See? And as you're walking in the word, obeying the word of God, you're putting off the old man and putting on the new man. And you're being changed. Now, the error I've seen in the church is it is taught that the new heart is given instantaneously when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. But the New Testament doesn't teach that the salvation of God that spiritually regenerates a person and gives them a new heart that didn't happen all at once. Spiritual regeneration. Salvation is a process. Spiritual regeneration is a process that brings forth this new heart. And it's an ongoing work of grace that God started and he'll finish it. Now back to Matthew 5:27. You have heard that was said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay. 10 commandments. Don't commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after have committed adultery with her on his heart. So the Lord's not telling us, okay, you're not under the law, you can do that. No, he's saying you're not under the law. Now we're going to deal with that sin with your faith. We're not going to try to live by the 10 commandments. I'm going to show you how to live by faith. So the Lord is bringing his people from the old covenant to the new covenant. In the new covenant, the Lord gets to the root of man's problem with sin. And it's in the heart. Now let's read verse 29. And you know, it was interesting. I heard this other minister on Facebook speak this. And when I listened to what he said, I said, oh, that's right on. And I'm going to say pretty much what he said or the way he laid it out as best I remember. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. So this minister said, you can pluck out your eye and you can cut off your hand, but that doesn't fix the problem. The problem is in the heart, and you cannot cut out the heart, but the Lord can. Amen. See, now look at this, Colossians 2:11. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Romans 2:29, I'm going to read it, the International Standard Version. No, a person is a Jew inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart brought about by the Spirit, not by the written law. That person's praise will come from God, not from people. So Jesus was saying, you have heard from the old, you've heard from of old, or the old covenant, don't commit adultery. But I say to you, don't even lust after her in your heart, okay? Which is a higher standard of righteousness than the Ten Commandments. Then the Lord gives you examples of trying to stop committing sins. He said, if your eye is causing you to sin, pluck it out. Or if your hand is causing you to sin, cut it off. All right? Now stay with me. Yet the Lord knew he had to give them a new heart to stop the sinning. All right? Now go back to verse 17, still in Matthew 5. Think not I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I've not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, and these are scriptures that have been misunderstood, but I'm going to see if I can bring some clarity to them. But verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall teach or shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach him, he same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, check this out. For I say unto you, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, what was the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees? And many people's righteousness today? Well, very simple. Keeping of the law of Moses, which Paul wrote in Romans 10 was self-righteousness, you know, saving yourself. Now, look at Matthew 5:18, the New Living Translation. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. Did you hear that? Now, if you know the purpose of the law of Moses, then you can know when it was achieved or fulfilled. Okay? Because people will quote that. Heaven and earth shall not disappear, but shall not pass away till the smallest detail of God's law shall disappear until its purpose is achieved. Okay, turn to Galatians 3:18-19. I'm reading the Amplified. For if the inheritance of what was promised is based upon observing the law, as these false teachers claim, is no longer based on a promise. However, God granted it to Abraham as a gift by virtue of his promise. Why then the law? What was its purpose? Okay, what's the purpose of the law? It was added after the promise to Abraham to reveal to the people their guilt because of transgressions. That is to make people conscious of the sinfulness of sin. And the law was ordained through angels and delivered to Israel by the hand of a mediator, Moses, the mediator between God and Israel, to be in effect until the seed should come to whom the promise had been made. Okay. The law was added because of transgression. That's what King James says. Turn to Romans 3:19. I think this is King James. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world will become guilty before God. Okay? Purpose of the law. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So we see the purpose of the law of Moses. It was first given because of sin and to show us that sin, to show us our sin and to make us guilty before God. And the purpose of the law of Moses was to bring us to Christ the Lord. Turn to Galatians 3:24. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Okay, the law of Moses was not given for us to live righteously. Look at Galatians 2:21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Philippians 3:9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. See, self-righteous. Romans 3 says the same thing. But that which is through the faith of Christ, or righteousness which is of God by faith. You could try to live by the law. For example, you could cut off your hands, try not to sin, or pluck out your eyes, and still sin. But the righteousness of faith, you can get your heart changed, and then you can overcome that sin of lusting after a woman. You see that? Okay, back to 5:18, Matthew 5:18, New Living Translation. I tell you the truth, till heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So the law of Moses' purpose was to show us our sin, make us guilty, then bring us to Christ. Then its purpose was achieved. Then its purpose was fulfilled. Then the law could be done away with. Do you see that? See, these scriptures in Matthew 5 makes it look like we're supposed to keep the law of Moses and that Jesus taught it, but he didn't. Jesus many times spoke in parables, and only those whose hearts were turned towards him would be open to understand what he was saying. And only those who follow God, mind, things, spirit, know what God's doing. And of course, God will send spiritual leaders to show God's people his ways and to open their eyes. See, Paul was sent to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and the power of Satan unto God. So even some of you can be praying, seeking God. You still can't see what this says. But God sent me to open your eyes. I was talking one time and, you know, God says stuff all the time out of my mouth and I don't even realize it. I remember I was speaking last week and I said that about Jesus' stone, a stumbling rock of offense. And then I said, that's talking about Israel rejecting the Messiah. And that's exactly what it's saying. And I didn't even know that. And then I went back after I did the podcast. I go, oh my God, that's exactly what that's saying. And I got it right. Why? God put the words in my mouth. I spoke them. I didn't even have a chance to check it out. I spoke them before he even knew what I was saying. He does that on a frequent basis with me. It's just like one time he said, I've sent you, or I've anointed you to open their eyes. I said, really? I didn't say that during the podcast. I just went on. And then I went back and I read that. I said, oh yeah, you've anointed us to open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light. Or that's another script. I've anointed you. The Spirit of Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to heal the brokenhearted, to open the eyes of the blind. So it was all scriptural, but God just put in my mouth. So anyway, when God brought in the new covenant, he didn't have a world summit. He didn't call the leaders of the nation to come together and outline what his new covenant was and how it was different from the old covenant. No. How did he do it? God raised up prophets, and they foretold what God was going to do. Okay? And let me give you an example of how God will magnify people so you'll know God's with them. Joshua 3:7. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that ye may know, or that they may know, that as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Joshua 4:14. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses and all the days of his life. See, so God will raise up a prophet. He'll magnify him. He'll do miracles through him, and then he'll speak to him. And so a person that is making an effort to follow God, they'll hear God. And or if they're having trouble hearing God, God will send a prophet by to speak to them, and they go, oh. And God has different ways to get them to know what the will of God is. So God's got prophets, teachers. There's men and women in every generation that are speaking the truth, that are walking in the ways of God as an example. And then, of course, you have liars, deceivers in every generation trying to lead you astray. You know, I look at this, even in the political scene, God will be doing great things like exposing all the waste in the government and everything. And they'll begin to speak these things. And then some liar will come up and try to, you know, a character assassination like on Elon Musk, and then said, oh, this is not true and all this stuff. So as soon as the truth is spoken, a liar will stand up. Okay? So it's like every time God is doing something, the devil will stand up. Now, look what Jesus said when he knew most of the people of Israel rejected him. Luke 19:42. And this is when Jesus came into Jerusalem. He's riding on a donkey. And he says, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least at this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they're hid from thine eyes. Let's look at that same scripture in the New Life Version. He said, if you had only known on this great day the things that make peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes. The Jews could have had peace in the land, but they didn't know the time of the Lord's visitation. Now go to verse 43. For the days will come upon you that thine enemies shall cast a trench about you, encompass thee about, and keep thee on every side. And they shall lay thee even to the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Now, let's look at the announcing of the birth of Christ, the shepherds, out in the field through the angel of God. Luke 2:10. And the angel said unto them, to the shepherds in the field, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now go down to verse 15. And it came to pass, as angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem to see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. So the birth of Christ was revealed to the shepherds as well as others. I'm just showing you how God moves, and he tells people, and he leaves a witness everywhere of what he's doing in the earth. Acts 26:22. Having therefore obtained help of God, this is Paul talking to Festus, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and the Moses did say which should come, that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and he should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Now, skip down to verse 26. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. Jesus of Nazareth's death was not done in a corner. It was opened for all Israel to see. Verse 27. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest. So the Apostle Paul, testifying that Jesus of Nazareth was the promised Christ or Messiah. Luke 24:15. came to pass, this is after Jesus raised from the dead, that while they communed together, and Jesus just walked up to the disciples, and he began to commune with them, and they reasoned and reasoned. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. As they were walking, they were communing together and reasoning. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding, and they should not know him. And he said to them, what manner of communication are these? That ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast thou not known the thing which are come to pass these days? See, all the people in Jerusalem knew about Jesus being crucified. And he said unto them, and Jesus said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day which these things are done. Okay? So, Jesus appeared to them, appeared to disciples. Acts 2:22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. This is the day of Pentecost. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel, foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible he should be hold of it. Now skip down to verse 30. Peter's talking about King David. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, and we talked about this last week, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ, sit on the throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus have God raised up, where we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he had shed forth this which you now see and hear. And you know, Jesus taught him out of the Psalms, prophets, concerning himself. For David, verse 34, for David is not ascended to heaven, but he saith also, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. Okay. Okay, so he's testifying before all of Jerusalem that knew that Jesus of Nazareth was crucified. And he's talking about the resurrection and how they were witnesses of these things and demonstrating the power. Okay, Luke 16:16. And the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth all them. Okay, presseth into it. Okay, John the Baptist came on the scene, or when he came on the scene to introduce Christ, the law ended. See, the law and the prophets were until John. Then from that time forth, the kingdom of God is preached. Now, the prophets' ministry didn't end. They just no longer dealt with the people according to the law, but they preached the kingdom of God. Okay, turn to Isaiah 43. Let's look at John the Baptist. The voice of him that cried from the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Okay, let me look at time. I may need to put a song here. Yeah, let's put a song here. Let's do He is Jehovah by Pamela Ponte.
He is Jehovah, God of creation. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty, the balm of Gilead, the rock of ages. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. He is the great I Am, the God of Abraham. Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace I am. The God of Israel, the everlasting one. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. your provider, Jehovah Jireh, God of salvation, God of Messiah, the Son He sent to you and testified of Him. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. He is Jehovah, the God.
Okay, Jesus of Nazareth brought in the new covenant, all right? John the Baptist is a forerunner. Now let's look at what it says about the old covenant, Exodus 34:28. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread, and this is Moses, nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. You see that? The words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. This is God putting in the old covenant through Moses, when he wrote the Ten Commandments. And let me interject something here. The reason people have such problems with guilt is the law of Moses still in their heart. You could have received Jesus. The law's been done away with, but you've got to get that law out of your heart. And also your view of God. This could cause you to be guilty because you could think God is a God of anger and wrath. And he is towards the wicked, but not towards the righteous. Those that have come to Christ, they're under grace. They're under mercy. You know, if you'll walk with the Lord, okay, not just you receive Jesus and just live in sin, but you receive the Lord and you begin to work righteousness. You fear God and you begin to turn from sin and you start making an effort to walk with God. He knows you're not going to straighten up overnight, but you're under grace and mercy if you come to Him and start working righteousness. Start reading, start praying, start seeking to follow. Okay, so He's putting in the law. The law, the old covenant begin here. But look at earlier in the chapter, the Lord actually reveals, before he reveals the new covenant, the Lord reveals to Moses his nature. Go back to that, Exodus 34, go back to verse 5. And the Lord descended. He just gave him the tables of stone, but then he proclaimed the name of the Lord to Moses. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God. Okay, now this is our God. This is a true and living God. Merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundance and goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. See, he doesn't clear the guilty. They have to receive his Son. They have to. The only way you can escape the judgment of God is through Christ. All right? Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, on the third and fourth generation. Okay. Now look at verse 8. God just revealed his nature to Moses. And Moses made haste and bowed his head towards the earth in worship. And I'm telling you, this is exactly what you will do when God reveals himself to you. You will worship. You know, and I had a time, when God was showing me what he was like, and I was just, and this is what happened. I just kept praising God, and I was showing love to him. I kept telling him, I love you. I love you. And he responded back to me and revealed his nature to me, and it was the most glorious, the most pleasant, the most loving person you could ever imagine. And it just made my heart worship him. So, I'm telling you, you draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. You use your faith, and let me tell you something. You show forth love to God, and you can touch God. You can touch the heart of God. You can get God to respond to your praise. You can get God to respond to your faith. All right? So God revealed his nature to Moses. Then later in that same chapter, God wrote the Ten Commandments on the tables of stone. All right? So just remember what I just told you about what God said he's like. Merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundance in goodness and truth. All right? Okay, turn to Romans 8:7, New Living Translation. For the sinful nature is always hostile towards God. It never did obey God's law, and it never will. Let's read that same verse, and that was the New Living Translation. Let's read the New International Verse. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile towards God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Okay, so this sinful nature of flesh, it is the old man, and it is against God, and it cannot submit to God. All right, and so here you are. Say you're trying to live by the old covenant. Under the old covenant, you would just make yourself obey the commandments. You'd make yourself love God, right? You're told to do it. Even though your heart is hostile towards God. And so let me say to you, many of you today that are trying to live by the law of Moses, after you receive Christ, it doesn't work. See, now under the new covenant, what do? We live by faith, believing what Jesus did on the cross. So we have that old man, the flesh in us, that sin in us, but under the new covenant, we live by faith. We're believing what Jesus did on the cross. Now look how he dealt with that hostility under the new covenant, Ephesians 2:16. Then he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. That's the old man. The sin nature of the flesh is the enmity that was put to death on the cross. Okay? Old covenant, you just try to submit to God and you can't. And you try to love God and it's greatly hindered. So you just do the best you can. And that's how you have to do even when you come under the new covenant. The difference under the old and the new is you keep using your will to believe the gospel. You get in faith. You'll start putting to get death that old man. See, what Jesus did on the cross will work in your life as you believe. You'll put to death that old man. And then you can submit to him more and more. The reason you have trouble submitting to God is the sin in you. So you have to believe on the righteous. So if you stand in the old covenant and try to live by the Ten Commandments, you'll be trying to love God with hostility in your heart towards him. But if you live by the new covenant and live by faith, your sinful nature will be put to death and a new nature will be formed in you as you continue in the faith. So the law ended for the righteous with the coming of Christ in the New Testament. Okay? See, we see that in Romans 10. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. All right? It's not the end of the law for people that won't receive Jesus. And it's not the end of the law for those that receive Jesus and just walk in sin. See? Practice sin. They're deceived. They think, oh, I've received Jesus, I'm saved. They just go do whatever they want. They're not practicing the faith. They're not trying to put off sin. That law is in full force. Now the law will operate in you even when you're believing, but you will overcome it. It's not easy, but you overcome it. Now look at this, 1 Timothy 1:8, New Life Version. We know the law is good when it is used the way God meant it to be used. We must remember the law is not for the person who is right with God. It is for those who do not obey anybody or anything. You know, they don't obey the laws of the land. Not talking about the law of Moses, but the laws of the land. It is for the sinners. The laws for the sinners. It's for those that don't obey the laws of the land. It's for those who hate God, who speak against him. It is for those who kill fathers and mothers, and for those who kill other people. It's giving you a whole list of who the law is for. Verse 10, for whoremongers, for them who defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, it's for liars, it's for prejudicers, and if there be any other thing that's contrary to sound doctrine. See, the law is not for the righteous, but for the lawless, the disobedient. I was reading New Life Version, but that's what the King James says. According to the glorious gospel, blessed God, which is committed to my trust. Here, once again, this is strengthening the truth that the law was given to give us the knowledge of sin, to make us guilty, and to bring us to Christ, but not to live righteously. And the law of Moses is not made for the righteous man or woman, but for the sinners. All right? So, as you begin to put these truths together over and over and get understanding, this will all fit together. All right? If you try to live by the law, the law shuts up your faith. The law makes you guilty. The law will make sin abound. It'll strengthen sin. And you'll just be a self-righteous person. You may be able to be righteous and do well in a certain place because you don't have that sin in you. But it won't be it won't be the righteousness of faith. And you'll still walk in the wrong spirit because you can't walk in the Spirit of God but by faith. You minister the Spirit by faith. You move in the Spirit by faith. All right? So, and as you get understanding in that area, it'll be another piece of the puzzle. See, I'm convinced the things that God has revealed to me are totally scriptural. I believe it all fits together. And I believe as we put this all together, you're going to see clearly the ways of God. And you're going to see how to go from the flesh to the spirit, from unbelief. See, you could be living by the laws of Moses, but how much can you believe God? How well is your faith work? I'll tell you, it won't work very well. We have to be delivered from the law. But we'll go from the flesh to the spirit. See, this is conversion, going from the flesh to the spirit, to unbelief, from doubt, to walking in faith. And when you walk in faith and in the spirit, you can rule over the devil and you can overcome the devil and be a very victorious person in this life. I'm having to push through affliction and push through spirits to get this out. And this is all the strength I've got to carry on. If there's any person that's never been saved, never been born again, haven't started that work of grace in your heart, haven't started getting spiritually regenerated, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Being saved and being born again, same thing. I can interchange those with scriptures. And salvation is a process, being born again is a process. So say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I just call upon your name. I just receive you as my Lord and my Savior right now. I just receive you, Lord Jesus. If you said that prayer and you meant it, Spirit of Christ has entered into you and you're ready to walk with the Lord. I encourage you to come back to my podcast. And I'll continue to teach you the ways of God. That's all I've got for this podcast. Everybody have a great day. God bless.
Just like a tree that's planted by the water.